You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Welcome back to Tactics Imperium, the podcast where we go beyond the noise and try to understand what's really happening on the pitch. This weekend, though, there has been a lot of noise, no? And it was honestly a difficult one for Italian football. Not just because of results, but because of everything surrounding them. The refereeing discussions, especially the Derby d'Italia between Inter and Juventus, completely took over the conversation. And in Italy, we know how it works, no? Even the smallest incidents can become dramatic. So imagine what happens when something this big occurs. And of course, it had to happen again in that particular fixture. And it almost feels like this is what people needed. Something to explode into debate, into controversy, into division. And I'll be honest with you, it's becoming difficult to see football the same way. There is too much noise, there is too much drama, there is too much emotion around everything. Even for me, trying to analyze games properly, sometimes it can feel exhausting. But I'll try to speak through it, because in this episode I want to keep things strictly tactical, as I have been doing throughout the season and the previous one. I will, of course, touch on the refereeing situation because we cannot ignore it, but I won't add more fuel to something that has already been discussed endlessly. Instead, we'll ask a simple question. What actually happened on the pitch? This is my favorite question. And we'll break down Inter versus Juventus, beyond the red card, Napoli versus Roma, a different kind of tactical battle, and also what these games tell us about modern Serie A. So, guys, stick with me and let's get into it. Let's start with the obvious. Here we are speaking about Inter-Juventus. The red card to Kalulu just before halftime completely took over the narrative. And once that happens, especially in Italy, especially in Italian football, everything else disappears, no? No one talks about the structure, the pressing, the games, the game plans. Only that particular incident remains. For the time being, but also most probably for years to come, no? Because this reminds us of previous Inter-Juventus. It reminds us of Ronaldo Luliano. It reminds us of the Pjanic controversy. It reminds us of a lot of situations that happened between Inter-Juventus. Obviously, last but not least, the Calciopoli situation that has added tons of fuel to this Derby d'Italia. And these are situations where the match then itself gets erased from memory. And that's the paradox, because if you actually look at this game, at last Saturday's game, there was a game. And Juventus, despite everything, actually played one of their most interesting tactical matches of the season under Luciano Spalletti, but also under Igor Tudor. Before the red card, before Kalulu's red card, this was a very, very high level tactical battle. Juventus lined up in now their traditional 4-2-3-1 that adapted almost perfectly to Inter's 3-5-2, and their pressing was very clear. McKennie was tracking Zielinski, Yildiz and Conceição were jumping onto Inter's wide center backs during the build-up, and the full backs were ready to push aggressively onto the wing backs. This was a man-oriented pressing which means the event displays were marking man-to-man interplays with structural intelligence and not randomly. This was done, you know, to disrupt Inter's build-up, Inter's initial phase in Zone 1. On the other hand, Inter tried to disrupt Juventus build-up as well, but here's the key. The Bianconeri manipulated that pressure very, very well, because Locatelli was driving deeper. The famous salita alla Volpiana, when one of the center midfielders drops between the center backs. Di Gregorio was also involved in circulation, which means Juventus were adding an extra player to their build-up. And Kalulu was stepping into space, which was creating space manipulation in the midfield. This created a recurring pattern. Inter would then start to press with intensity, Juventus would stretch the structure, and a free man would appear, often Kalulu, as we mentioned. And one detail I really liked was that Conceição was holding width high on the right, pinning Federico Di Marco, which opened space inside for progression, meaning Juventus could make use of half spaces, which is one of McKennie's, you know, favorite spots to exploit, if not the favorite. And this is positional play, this is called positional play, and is used to break man-oriented pressing, manipulating your opponents to create space elsewhere, especially inside the midfield. And honestly, Juventus were controlling the game. But here's when where the game then becomes interesting. Juventus had three components in this match. They had territorial dominance, they had better structure and better control of tempo. However, this happened also in previous matches, they lacked the punch in the final third. Something that Inter then didn't. Inter, their first goal comes from a high recovery and a chaotic situation, not from structured build-up. And this has been a theme with Inter under Cristian Chievo. They don't always control games, but they remain dangerous. Even with less possession, they create high-value moments. And then comes another pattern, Juventus reacting immediately within minutes. They had multiple shots, they were starting to play more vertically. Eventually they equalized to Cambiaso. And this showed something important, that Juventus were psychologically affected, they were tactically stable, and I think this has been the main improvement under Spalletti, you know. We were used to Juventus going down and start to retreat, start to be more afraid to react, something which was very, very noticeable under Thiago Motta last season. Then comes the turning point, Kalulu is sent off. Now, whether it's correct or not, I will leave that aside, but tactically changed everything, because then Juventus shifted into a 4-4-1 mid-block, still trying to press aggressively. And this is where I give Spalletti's team credit, because even with a man down, they didn't move away from their identity. White players still jumping on center backs, full backs still aggressive on wing backs, and Jonathan David was covering a huge ground alone up front. But naturally now Inter had numerical superiority, they could circulate the ball a little more easier and could have more control in advanced zones. And this meant that Inter were now pegging Juventus back in their own half. Then I think one of the main tactical shifts that then came to this match was one substitution by Inter, Pio Esposito. I think his presence changed a lot of things in this match, because while before where Inter were circulating, but they really had created any threat at all and were struggling centrally inside the box. And then afterwards they obviously had a fixed target man in the box, which obviously is the case when you put in a natural center forward. They had more effective crosses and more second ball opportunities, because when you put in a player like Pio Esposito, but even if you put any natural number 9, especially with the height and physique that Pio Esposito possesses, he can pin defenders centrally, and this obviously opens space outside the box for cutbacks, for second runs, for second ball opportunities, but also for the shooting ability, for the shoot on sight, because then Calhanoglu, when he came on, he's starting to shoot from distance, Zelensky started to find pockets and Inter were becoming a little more unpredictable. His goal, in fact, Zelensky's goal was attacking Locatelli specifically is a perfect example. Excuse me. Esposito's goal, attacking Locatelli specifically, is a perfect example of striker intelligence in the box and in a little less than the 30 minutes he played. He had 3 shots and had more presence than Marcus Thuram and Lautaro Martinez, and that's really, really a huge impact. Then, however, the same pattern like in the first half occurred, with Juventus going behind but then responding, and this is something that maybe got lost in the noise, but Juventus equalizer came from aggressive defending, winning duels high and immediate vertical transition. And it was another situation where Juventus did not collapse and replied, despite being a man down at the San Siro in already fueled match, a match fueled tension with a lot of situations, no? And here's the contradiction with Inter, because despite being a man up 11 versus 10 and being ahead, they still struggle to control the game. And this highlights two particular issues that their difficulty to progress under pressure and sometimes their defensive passivity in key moments, which keeps them vulnerable in certain matches, which happened also in the previous matches. Now, briefly, another game worth analyzing, Napoli against Roma at the Stadio Armando Maradona. This was completely different type of match, but at the same time equally revealing. So, both teams used a 3-4-1, heavily influenced by Giampiero Gasperini's ideas, and the game became pure duels across the pitch, man-to-man pressing everywhere, constant transitions, open spaces. In fact, Antonio Conte called it an English game, and it made sense because neither team could control the rhythm. And when that happens, individual quality becomes decisive. One of the key examples was Roma's first goal, coming from a chaotic sequence of transitions. But at the same time, what really stood out was Napoli's issue, their defensive instability in open space, and also then a very interesting individual impact, Alisson Santos, his ball carrying, inverted positioning and direct threat. And he added something Napoli lacked, the vertical unpredictability, which is also an issue with Antonio Conte. We know how his teams play, let's put it, you know, in a very soft way, predictable. They play in a predictable manner in the way that they are very mechanical. Antonio Conte wants every situation structured. He doesn't really leave room for improvisation up front. And Alisson Santos brought something different to this contest side. And against a team like Roma, this made a huge difference. Now, having spoke about these two matches, I will leave you with a couple of questions. Are we losing the ability to analyze football because of constant external noise? How much should a single refereeing decision redefine how we interpret a match? And tactically, is Serie A becoming too dependent on man-oriented systems? I think these are three interesting questions that pop out after last weekend's matches, but also, you know, having watched a lot of Serie A football as well. Now, I wanted to leave you with a final thought, that football doesn't stop when controversy begins, but sometimes our attention often does. And a reminder that Juventus Inter wasn't just a referee story, and Napoli Roma wasn't just chaos, because there were structures, there were ideas, and there were adjustments. And if we ignore them, we lose part of what makes football worth analyzing in the first place. Obviously, it's not easy with all that happened and with all that will happen, you know, as a follow-up to last weekend's matches, but this is what exactly what we need to do. Cut through the noise and understand the game. As always, thank you very much for listening to Tactics Imperium. Make sure to follow Serie A Spotlight on all social media platforms. And until the next episode, enjoy your Serie A calcio and alla prossima.